How's it going, everybody? Andrew Zarian here, Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. East, 1 p.m. on Saturdays with Jim Valley, and Sundays with me. It's Sunday. It's 6 p.m. It's Andrew Zarian. I'm here. We got a lot to talk about, obviously, today. Survivor Series fallout from last night. I'm loving these Saturday pay-per-views. There's no reason to go back to Sundays other than a UFC fight happening or boxing happening. I'd never want to stay up to watch a pay-per-view again on a Sunday. Listen, maybe some of you guys love it. I don't. I like to go to bed early on a Sunday and wake up miserable at 4 o'clock in the morning when my dog is barking and demanding to go outside. So for me, this worked great. Survivor Series fallout, a lot of stuff happened here. Obviously, Becky Lynch came back. Bloodline storyline continues. Dominated that match. Sami Zayn, really, MVP of the second half of the year for sure. This guy is unbelievable. We're going to talk about that. Also, the Elite Mox CM Punk on Dynamite Wednesday. Tuesday, there was a story that came out. I think it was a Sports Illustrated piece. Kenny was talking about it. You know, it's not the Elite against CM Punk, man. We got to get over this. We're all wrestlers. We're all trying to do something here. Turns out they were going after him hard in that match. And man, did they hear the boos from Chicago. We're going to talk about that, obviously. Matt Ryan joining me also. He did a watch-along for us last night on the Matt Men channel with MG, our producer. Man, you know, a lot's going on here. War Games happened on the main roster. The big story here, first time ever in WWE history that the main roster got War Games. This was Triple H's spearheaded project. He's been wanting War Games for 20-some-odd years. I think the story is that he's wanted it for 20 years. Well, he finally got it. And I want to know from you guys in the chat, if you're watching this, tweet me, at Andrew Zarian. Let me know what you thought of that show, and tell me what you thought about that War Games match. Did it live up to your expectation? Because a lot of people are going into this if you have not watched NXT, and you're only watching mainstream WWE product. Your only exposure is, you know, Dusty's version of War Games. We're going to talk about that and a whole lot more here on Wrestling Observer Live on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Wrestling Observer Live, Sunday edition here. Hanging out, tagging in, actually. I'm going to say, I'm tagging in my tag partner for the day, Matt Ryan. What's going on, Matt?
Nothing much, man. Great week of pro wrestling heading into a very interesting end of 2023.
2022.
Really enjoyed
No. Don't jump ahead. I don't want it to be 2023 yet.
Neither do. Well, I kind of want it to be 2023. For Catalyst Wrestling's next show, January 22nd at the Bell House. CatalystWrestling.com for tickets. Bam, baby! King! The King of the Shill! That's right, baby.
The King of the Shill, Matt Ryan, joining us today. I want to talk about this show. Survivor Series, obviously, last night. The big hot topic here. I promise you guys, listen, we're not going to dedicate the whole show to Survivor Series. I can't do a full review. It's almost impossible.
You shouldn't have to.
No, Dave and Brian did a fantastic job.
If you don't have Peacock at this point yet, yeah. Brian and Dave do a fantastic job. We did a whole watch-along last night. Rich and Andrew did one on Mad Men. So we're going to be talking about a bunch of other things because there's a lot more going on in the world of pro wrestling. And if you're mad about it, you can follow me on Twitter at Matt Ryan Yells and call me a dummy. I won't
King of the
be
shows.
Mad if
Here
you
we
do.
Go.
That's right, baby.
King of the Shills. Survivor Series fallout. Let's go into this. So a couple things you could tell by the video package. I wanted to touch on that. It was a very much a Triple H, a Hunter production. Ozzy Osbourne, you had the metal music playing.
Yeah.
Worked out perfect with War Pig. Good job with that opener. Ozzy is very old now, and yes. I could have done without seeing him, but it kind of worked out in the long run here. Started off with a women's War Games match. Now, this is not Dusty's War Games. So I got to tell you,
no,
I did not watch. I didn't like go on Twitter and tweet while the show was happening. I was watching it like a normal person for once. And I had a lot of people that like are casual, like maybe disenfranchised wrestling fans that like turned it on because it's a Saturday night. It's on Peacock. A lot of people have Peacock.
Yeah.
So they put it on and they heard War Games. And now people, you know, a lot of my buddies are like, oh, man, War Games. And then they were shocked to see that it was such a bright atmosphere and the cage was different and the rules. They're like, it's just like two steel cages. I'm like, that's what it is.
Well, that's what War Games was dingy. The original War Games was very dingy.
Yes.
And the cages were built by guys named Klondike Bill. So the safety and security of everybody in that cage was always a high risk. I don't dislike the modern War Games. I enjoyed both matches last night. I wish that, and I understand why there isn't a roof on the cage, so we can get those epic spots from Becky Lynch, Io Sky, etc., etc. But it's a different thing. Match types evolve, and anytime a match type goes into the WWE, it gets transmogrified into what they think is more palatable. And the thing about War Games is, whether it's War Games, Lethal Lockdown, whatever variations of the match exist, it's always going to be held in that light. And WCW was the first one to ruin War Games. Let's not forget that. Fall yes. Brawl 96, having the heels win in the way that they won, the first time a heel ever won the War Games, NWO against, I believe, the Horsemen. That was Kurt Hennig with the cage door, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yes, I
was
believe
that 90s?
So. Who turned? I
forgot. No, that
who
was
turned.
No, that was yep, it was the Sting turn. It was the fake Sting turn. But the WWE version is, out of all the potential variables of a WWE version of War Games, pretty good. It's pretty solid.
Yeah, it's not
Don't
bad.
Like the cages, but
yeah, listen,
it puts an emphasis on presentation more than this is a fight. These are people locked inside a hellscape.
Well, it looked really pretty, and a lot of the comments that I saw throughout the night were, it looks plasticky, it's a Mattel kit. Yeah, you know, a little bit. I agree with you, and I said that on Matt Men today. We were talking about that. I was like, you know, listen, dim the lights a little bit. You know, make it a big, you know, scary environment, right? War Games is scary. The steel and you're locked in there with everybody. It was very bright, very Disney-fied in a way, if I'm going to criticize the match. However, I think the women's match was pretty solid. A lot of high spots in there. Dave and Brian kind of touched on this. You know, one thing that WWE lacks is current footage of War Games, because they've never done it, and they don't want to rely on the NXT footage. So they got all those spots in. Becky with the big leg drop off the top rope. Io Sky did a big high spot from the top, which was very impressive. You know, it was a solid match, 39 minutes. Nothing wrong with it.
No, I completely agree. And I think the thing that also makes these War Games different is that once everybody's in there, the match runs another 20 minutes in the WWE. In the Jim Crockett Promotions WCW version, that was maybe 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Maybe 10. So they're trying to make, they need to build out the space, to build out the high spots, to build out the moments, because that's the conceit of the match.
Hey, listen, it's the evolution. I can't believe we're complaining that the product looks too good. But, it you know, sometimes overproduction is a problem. Maybe they'll dim the lights next time. I don't know. But the match ended with Becky Lynch hitting a top of the cage leg drop onto Sky. And who else? It was Io Sky and Dakota Kai. They were both laying on the table. And, you know, nice leg drop off the top. You know, cool stuff. I also like the AJ Styles Finn Balor match. I thought that was a really good match as well. Some people found it boring. I didn't. I thought commentary told a good job.
They
did holds. I know. They did a bunch of holds.
They did holds and things.
Yeah. The big letdown for me was the Ronda Rousey and Shayna and the Shotzi match.
Yeah.
That was disastrous in many moments. I think there was one good spot where Ronda did a judo throw and kind of looked good. But overall, I thought that match was lacking. And I think that's a bigger discussion, you know, what the hell's going on with Ronda Rousey right now? Because she has virtually no heat. There's no reaction. And she's lost that star luster. No fault of hers. I think it's the fault of, you know, booking.
They've normalized Ronda Rousey. The thing that made her powerful in the UFC and in her early WWE run was that she wasn't on TV every week. What's the thing that keeps Brock Lesnar engaging and interesting? What's the thing that made Andre the Giant one of the biggest stars in the business? You didn't see Hulk Hogan defending the title every week on TV. Having Ronda Rousey, who had quantifiable star power outside of the wrestling industry, outside of mixed martial arts, once you start seeing them every week, it's not as special anymore.
Yeah.
And when you don't just have them wrestling once a month. Like, I would transition Shayna into being the front-facing person for them, not have Ronda there every week. And I'd
get a manager. Put her with somebody. I mean, they don't do managers anymore, and that's a problem, right?
I'm not going to politic for a job, but yes, the managing profession in the WWE, with limited exception over the last 20 years, has been very, very, very thin on the amount of people being represented.
Yeah. We also got, shockingly, this was one of my favorite matches. I very much liked the triple threat match with Austin Theory, Seth Rollins, and Bobby Lashley. Finish came when Seth was, I guess Austin stole the pin more than anything else, got the pin, U.S. Yep. champion. I thought they told a good story here. This is the rehab of Austin Theory. They got that briefcase off of him, and now they're starting over, and they're giving him the U.S. title. All right, cool. Not bad. And then we got War Games, which we're going to spend a little bit of time after the break, but I do want to talk about this because a lot of pieces were put in place for the next couple months here, leading up to Elimination Chamber more than anything else. I think the big story, we're not telling the story of WrestleMania. I think we're telling the story of Elimination Chamber with it being in Montreal. That's going to be a very interesting moment for everybody because, you know, how do you get there? How do you do it? Long story short here, the Bloodline dominated this match. Mm. Sami Zayn was the hero. They told the story of deception between the Usos and Sami Zayn. Some deception between the Usos, but we're going to talk about this. I want to know what you guys think. Let us know in the chat. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. We'll be right back after this. Wrestling Observer Live. Andrew Zarian here on Sports Byline. Joined by Matt Ryan discussing Survivor Series from last night. Before the break, we were talking about the main event here. Roman Reigns, Sami Zayn, Solo Sikoa, and the Usos against Kevin Owens, Drew McIntyre, Sheamus, Ridge Holland, and Butch. Ridge Holland has grown on me tremendously. Mm-hmm. I'm into this. I'm into Ridge Holland now. He's growing on me.
He needed a little bit of time. He needed a bit of time. Getting hurt in NXT really screwed up his progression. Yeah. I think him with the McAfee stable during that period of time would have done a huge benefit for him. I think putting him with Sheamus and Butch Dunn really gives him the opportunity to learn and grow alongside two very qualified vets. Because remember, Ridge Holland's a transplant. He came from rugby into pro wrestling, and he's been adapting so far, but the injury bug bit him. What happened to Big E, I think, curtailed a lot of his development, but now he seems to be on a good track.
You know, one thing that they've done, you know, it says WWE really does not have patience. I think a lot of wrestling doesn't have patience anymore, right? People don't want to spend the time over months and months and months to get to a culmination anymore. You want it immediately. One thing that they've done tremendous is this Bloodline Roman Reigns storyline mm-hmm. that has continued, and it's been a very slow progress, but we've seen where they're going. And I think the injection of Sami Zayn now makes so much more sense into this whole situation. You know, we know how the show ended. Sami was the hero here. Everybody hugged in the end, turned on Kevin Owens. They told that story. But really, it looks like Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns will be the match for the titles at Royal Rumble, right? That's the match.
I think it is, and I think there's a lot of good story there, and I really am excited to see how they play off of this on Friday, how they handle the lead up to the Royal Rumble. I've seen some reports about what may happen in Montreal in February at the Elimination Chamber.
Well, that's the story, right? Because Montreal getting Elimination Chamber, you could do Kevin and Roman there, but shouldn't the story be somehow Sammy costs something along the line, whether or not you take the title off of Roman or you don't? I don't know where that answer, you know, how you're going to get to maybe Dwayne at WrestleMania. There's so many moving parts here, but the story should be Roman and Sammy.
Yeah.
And what if it's Sammy that dethrones him, huh?
You know, we talked about this last night on our Matt Men Watch Along, And there's a lot of different roads that can come out of this. And I know we talked about it after the show, too. And I was thinking during the post-show press conference, there are three definitive possibilities for Roman Reigns. There's a fourth one that's a wild card that's probably not going to happen. The most obvious one is The Rock, because that's been what's talked about for the last few years. It's in Hollywood. It would solidify Roman as the quantifiable top guy.
Yeah.
The next is Sami Zayn, because he's been thrown into all this and he's gotten over like Rover. The thing that hinges on a lot of this is Cody Rhodes. Is Cody Rhodes going to be 100% by the Royal Rumble? Is Cody Rhodes going to be ready by Elimination Chamber to win? There's so many different things. Like, what is the Elimination Chamber going to be this year since the belt is unified?
Yeah.
There's so many things within this that there's not enough clarity on, but it's fun because we can think of all these different potential booking moves, and a lot of them would make sense. Here's one that could happen. Kevin Owens loses at the Royal Rumble. Sammy wins it at the Elimination Chamber because of Kevin or The Rock. And that's a way to have Rock and Roman without the title because it makes the finish less obvious. And then you have Kevin and Sammy main eventing one of the other night, whether it's night one or night two.
Yeah.
This is me ultimate fantasy booking. This is a thing that's probably not going to happen. It really wouldn't make as much sense as you would want it to make.
Or do you split the titles? You know, that's the other thing.
That's certainly a possibility.
You have two titles. You have two shows. The purpose of the two titles were to have, you know, title representation on both brands. You know, they're doing this back and forth with Roman, you know, going on one show and going on the other occasionally. But they need to figure out what the process is going to be for the long term. WWE Universal Champion, I hate that name, personally. I don't like the Universal Champion. It's silly to me. So
what about Intergalactic?
Let's come up with a couple
of different names. If you're listening now live in the chat or
the WWE Nebula Championship, you could do that.
Yeah. The Quantum Championship.
Yeah, we could do that also.
You can get it sponsored. The Duracell Championship brought to you by Rayovac.
Well, we could sponsor the title. You know.
Yeah.
There's a ton of parts here. But I am excited to see what they do. I'm very curious how they get to, you know, how they get to The Rock. If that's an element here, if you have Roman as the champion and you make it something humongous. You know, we're saying Roman can't go in there facing The Rock with the title because what if The Rock wins, right? Or the expectation is he won't win, so people are going in with a predetermined decision on what's going to happen. Listen, it's a very different company now. The changes are starting to happen. You're already seeing this move, the changes. Who's to say we don't have, you know, The Rock and Roman for the title at WrestleMania in Hollywood? You know, make it even bigger. There's a lot of this. There's a lot of this stuff going on. Very excited to see what's going to happen here. So some of the fallout from this. Triple H, they had their scrum. Actually, it's not a scrum. They had their press conference. And Hunter said, and these were interesting statistics. It was the highest grossing Survivor Series in the 35-year history of the show. It was the most watched PPV. It's a PLE. Most watched, pay-per-view in the 35-year history for Survivor Series. I believe prior to this, the most watched was Deadly Games, was Survivor Series 98. And I believe it did 435,000 buys. Now, MG, please fact check me on that. I'm going on memory. I went in. I did the Carson thing here. I'm dating myself.
And I think that one might have been the best of that era.
Oh, it was fantastic. It was a tournament for the title. It was the year after the Montreal Screwjob. It was, you know, what they redid it again. They screwed Foley out of it. And this was the crowning of Dwayne. So very cool show. You know, I think now it's easier, obviously, to get a high buy rate. We know that Crown Jewel did 1 million views because it's on Peacock and because a lot of people get it for free. And it was on a Saturday afternoon. But, you know, this is saying that, you know, they are heating up. They also claimed that it was a complete sellout where more than 15,600 in attendance. I'm not sure about that number, but still very impressive.
You think
it was as much
Titan math exists.
Titan math always exists. You carry the one, you add 15, and then you multiply that by whatever number you feel like multiplying it with.
I've I've heard rumors that every Excel application in WWE headquarters has a keystroke where it's just Vince's face glaring at
it's
you.
A Titan formula.
I don't know if they replaced it or not. Yeah.
It's a Titan formula. So a couple questions. My friend Issa was able to ask a question to Triple H in the press conference and asked if they have any potential or consideration to go to Latin America. Hunter said they're planning on going everywhere, which is interesting, and they're looking to sit down with local governments and figure that out. He also brought up the pay-per-view namings, these themed pay-per-views, like a Hell in a Cell, an Elimination Chamber, Money in the Bank. And we've heard the rumors that they're looking to kind of move things around and maybe not do so many of these gimmick pay-per-views. But Hunter had the best response. And I thought this simplified it really well. It's like, listen, a Hell in a Cell is a culmination of the feud, right? It's the end. It was 478, by the way. 478,000 people ordered Deadly Games in 1998. That's very impressive.
That is very impressive.
It just shows you how hot the business was.
Maybe, yeah, and I think maybe top five non-WrestleMania big four buys
could
of
be.
The time period.
Yeah, it could be. Very possible.
Because
I knew
these Invasion was the highest. Yeah.
Invasion was 770,000.
How dare you?
Invasion was high. ECW One Night Stand was also shockingly high for them. So not Invasion high, but it was still impressive. So here's the thing about the theme shows, and this was Hunter's response, and I thought it made sense. He's like, listen, a Hell in a Cell is a culmination, right? Essentially, I'm filling in the blanks here. It's a blood feud. You're feuding. You know what? Outside interference happens. This happens. You know what? I don't want this nonsense. I don't want the shenanigans. We're doing it inside of a Hell in a Cell. You don't really get that with Money in the Bank or Elimination Chamber.
No.
Nobody. He goes, I think there's a difference. I think we could reevaluate. This is Hunter saying it. It's really looking at the overall calendar and saying, what's the best place to put this? I think this is a better way to look at it rather than telling us every year that Hell in a Cell happens in September and this happens in this month. You kind of need to move things around a little bit.
Yeah.
Not bad.
No, I completely agree with it. I think for a long time, Elimination Chamber acting up as the follow-up pay-per-view to Royal Rumble made sense back when there were two championships. Now you don't have that, and I think having just one Elimination Chamber match per year is more effective, and also you don't burn through all your ideas in one night or over the course of a few years. It makes the match feel special again. These matches are intended to feel special. They're supposed to have a finality to them or an impact to them. The two war games made sense, and I get why there are multiple war games, but I think the best way to normalize it across the board is to make these matches matter and not just do... You don't have a show just because it's named that.
Wait a minute. You're telling me the key to wrestling is making the match matter and making me invest my time?
Wow. I was shocked as well, but when we come back from break, Andrew, we're going to have a lot more to talk about within the world of pro wrestling. MJF, William Regal, are they together? Is Regal gone? All this and more on Wrestling Observer Live. We'll be back in just a jiffy. Stay right where you are.
Wrestling Observer Live here on a Sunday. Andrew Zarian here, joined by Matt Ryan, talking Survivor Series. We just ran down that card. Speculated, had some fun with it. I want to take a moment and talk about AEW. Dynamite, live from Chicago last Wednesday. Kenny did an interview with Sports Illustrated, I believe on Tuesday this came out. And in that interview, he pretty much said it's time for people to move on from this. And he said, "People, you know, this isn't an Elite versus Punk thing. It's, you know, they're all human beings and they're all trying to do their job and blah, 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 blah." Well, here comes Dynamite, live from Chicago, Wintrust Arena. And the boos were coming in when the Elite came out. The CM Punk chant started. And, you know, they didn't do much to alleviate that. And they kind of egged them on a little bit more. What'd you think of all the Punk references in that match?
I thought that leaning into it was probably the most plausible option because the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega like to push those buttons. They've done it historically, whether it's in New Japan, AEW, wherever it's kind of their MO and the motif of what they do. So in the grand scheme of things, it's not really a shocking thing. I'm still trying to be Switzerland in yeah. all of this in terms of having an opinion, not because of anything other than we don't know what actually happened. And it's really hard to discern through all the noise what actually went down. There's been some great reporting on this. There's been some great sourcing on this. But this is a story much like the Montreal Screwjob. If the Montreal Screwjob wasn't recorded for a documentary and we didn't see and hear sure. what exactly went on in the back, we would never know what exactly. actually went down. Yeah. And within all this, it's a lot of it's tribalism at the heart of it.
Listen, I think they knew what they were going into. They knew what they were going into in Chicago, and I think they leaned into it a little bit more to kind of liven up the crowd and engage with them. I don't see this happen. I mean, listen, if they do this every week, then, you know, in my mind, automatically it's like, okay, when is this Punk Kenny Omega match happening, right? I mean, I don't expect that to happen, obviously. I'm not saying it's happening, but I found it interesting how heavy that crowd booed them. You know, it is good to have them back for sure. And this is going to help TV, and this is going to help their product by having Kenny Omega. But, you know, the best out of seven, I got to tell you, I am not really a fan of it. I get why they want to do it. I know that they think that these guys are fantastic, which they are. They're all everybody in that ring, fantastic, great workers. But I don't want to see this 7 weeks in a row. I want Kenny to do something else. I actually don't even want Kenny in a trios ensemble. It was cool. But like, yeah, okay, maybe you put him in a box. You do the trios thing. They're the inaugural champions. They drop it to somebody, and then you move Kenny back into the main event picture because you know what? Who's MJF going to face? You know, maybe not Kenny Omega
Kenny.
Right
it
now.
It can't be Kenny yet. I disagree Kenny with yet, you
but,
fervently
no,
on
no,
this.
No. It can't be Kenny yet, but who's he facing on the next pay-per-view?
Well, I think that, and I spoke about this last night on Mat Men, I think it should be Ricky Starks. Ricky Starks and him should have a program that runs up to Revolution. I think something should happen. Winter
they're wrestling
is coming.
Next week?
Yeah, I know they're wrestling next week. That's why I was going to say, when they face off at Winter is Coming, something has to happen. A MacGuffin has to happen. Could be Ethan Page running in. It could be any number of things to further this and move it forward. Because AEW needs a homegrown babyface that isn't Adam Page to feud with MJF.
Yeah.
You need the champion needs to make new stars. MJF is at the peak of his powers as a draw and as a personality. And as someone who has seen MJF evolve, he can make people in a match. He can be the A-side. He has to be the A-side. And that was one of the things that champions going all the way back, what Roman Reigns has done. He has been the A-side in every match he's been in since regaining the championship and turning into the character we've seen as the head of the table, yeah. the leader of the bloodline.
Yeah, and by the way, when I say Kenny should be in the main event picture, I'm not necessarily saying he should be in the title picture. I think he should be in a top-tier singles picture where you elevate somebody else along with him. You use him to elevate.
But then you diminish... Is Kenny a bigger star in the company than MJF?
I think to an extent, yes. You know what? I'm going to say yes.
Then why would you put your biggest... this is why I think Mox is going away for a while.
Which like, he should. He should take
need,
some time off.
You need MJF to have the focus as a single. You need him to have a true rivalry that is the focus of the show because you need to prove that he can carry your TV. All of this has been prelude to Max being the guy for the next year.
But who's the guy that's going to face? Listen, I very much like Darby Allin. I very much like Ricky Starks. I very much like Ethan Page. I talk about them all the time. Is that what's going to draw? If that's your TV main event for the title, right? That's one thing. But is that going to be a drawing feud right now? I don't know.
You have to spend the next 3 months or 2 months, however long it is, until Revolution. I think it's in February.
Yeah. Listen, the real answer here is going to have to be Wardlow. You go back to Wardlow. You do something with Wardlow. You know, whether or not
you put the belt on Wardlow,
I don't think so. But you're gonna have to address that because that's unresolved. You also have guys like Malakai Black that's doing trios only. You have a guy like Pac that's doing the trio stuff now that the title's off of him.
It's a bottleneck.
There's a tremendous bottleneck with amazing talent. I want to see them in singles competition. I like the trio stuff. They did a good job at establishing it in that company where you have stables, but you know, I just feel that there's a lot of wasted potential here, right? Bryan Danielson is one of those in my mind that comes up.
When you only have 5 hours of television, three hours of television a week. So I was counting Dark and Dark Elevation. You have 3 hours of TV a week and the second deepest roster in pro wrestling history next to the WWE, which has the deepest. Like, we are witnessing two of the deepest rosters in wrestling history, going back to maybe 40 years ago when Crockett and the WWF were the only major players in the industry. They're not running A, B, and C shows like WWE did or Jim Crockett Promotions did. You only have Dynamite and you only have Rampage. The thing that has to happen is ROH needs to get on TV, or they need to finalize those plans. They need to use AEW and ROH as loops and treat them much like different promotions and have people rotate in and out. That's the goal. That has to be it.
The Ring of Honor stuff really but that is going to go away. You know, once they get their TV, once they get that established, hopefully we get an announcement in a couple weeks at the pay-per-view, but it is time to kind of solidify who your guys are and not work people in and out as much. You know, who's your top five right now on that roster? Adam Cole could be the guy, but he's hurt. Adam Page could be that guy. He's hurt. Andrade, he's gone. He's not there. Think about how many people are sitting at home, not on TV. How many people really don't want to be in that starlight? Like Bryan Danielson. He's not really seeking to be their world champion. Right? You got that going. What are you doing with Cesaro?
Him and MJF would be great.
Yeah, him and MJF would be great. Cesaro would be great, but he's on the Ring of Honor side. Samoa Joe, what is he doing?
Well, now he's the champion of all television.
He's the champion of all television. Okay.
Well, he is. He's the TNT champion. He's the ROH television champion. I do think he holds the Azerbaijan regional cable championship.
He holds the Azerbaijani regional world caucus championship. Yeah, I think he holds that also.
He's the BCAT champion, the MNN champion. I think he's the champion of CBS Sports HQ.
My thing is, I'm always patient with booking. Right? I'm very patient. I get it. I see what Tony wants to do. However, you know, you got to hit that throttle a little hard. You know, you're in a TV year, a lot of uncertainty, a lot of speculation. A lot of this stuff is out of his hands, obviously. A lot of the insanity that happened. I don't think he envisioned CM Punk would lose his mind the way he did. But you got to adapt here. You got to adapt what you're doing. And I hope that they kind of restructure that top tier picture.
Yeah, I think we're seeing that. I think they needed to get to full gear to undo a lot of the damage that happened over the late summer, from September to November between pay-per-views. You kind of needed to rework and reconfigure every aspect of your show because of what happened, because it caused a butterfly effect across the entire company.
Yeah.
And now they're able to normalize a little bit, and I think we're going to see more germs of that on Wednesday. I think that as we go ahead, I really think AEW needs a third show on television or on streaming. They need a WCW Saturday night. They need an old school show where you can show squash matches and do character development, because the pace that they're running at is just a little too hard.
Listen,
you're burning out matches real quick.
I know about your little thing you got from Mid-South, okay? And Jim Crockett. I know that little thing that you got. I agree with you. I think there needs to be a change to how you're building these guys. But you know what? We're going to see what happens, because they got a pay-per-view in like 3 months. And they got a lot of time to build right now. And it's a new year. It's a new start. We'll see what they have going. Very curious, though. I'm very curious how they do this. And they got to be careful with a guy like Ricky Stark because, yeah, he is. He has tremendous potential to be a top guy. But you don't want to exhaust him too early. That's my only concern. You think who do you think is the next champion before we go to break? Who's the next champion, if you were to guess?
The next champion, I was just reading the chat because I love the comments you guys are giving us on YouTube and across Twitter. When it comes to the next champion of AEW, I can see it maybe being a Wardlow. I think it might be an Adam Page. I don't think it's a Ricky Starks just yet, but there's a lot of talent in the pipeline. I can't really give you a clear answer because I don't think we're going to see a next champion emerge until the build to Double or Nothing. If they leave the title on MJF until Full Gear next year, there's a lot more options, but there's only a few people right now that I can see in that position, and there's too many different questions. Like, I would love to see a Miro come back and feud directly with MJF for the title. I would love to see Malakai Black take that step up. But they're so deficient in top baby faces that they need to use the early part of MJF's run to create credible baby faces that can wrestle in main events of pay-per-views that aren't the same 4 to 5 guys they've relied on over the past 18 months.
Yeah.
Because you've lost a lot of your weapons.
You have. You know? You have. And I don't think the answer is bringing in anybody. I think you have such top talent there that you need
it.
To... No, you got to work it. You got to work it. Because I don't think the answer is bringing a WWE guy, putting him on the roster, having him challenge and win the title. And by the way, those guys don't exist anymore. You got everybody you wanted. Think of how many people they grabbed over the last year and a half. Wild to think about. Wrestling Observer Live. Final segment coming up here on Sports Byline. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this. Wrestling Observer Live, final few minutes here on Sports Byline. This hour goes by quick.
Sound radio, baby.
It's sound radio. A few things to add here. Notes out of Rampage. A couple things happened. It was a 4 p.m. Rampage. I cannot imagine how these numbers are going to look tomorrow when we get them. But Chris Jericho will be defending the ROH Championship against Claudio at Final Battle. That's taking place December 10th. Bryan Danielson will be taking FTR's Dax Harwood in a singles competition on Wednesday on Dynamite. I wonder if that leads to something. But it seems like the big story was the turn at the end of Rampage, where you had 10 turning on the Dark Order and throwing his mask at the feet of Negative One. Negative One devastated. He's now out of the Dark Order. You know what? Good thing to do something with him. Him being behind a mask really wasn't doing any good to him. So I'm interested to see if this goes anywhere.
I think that this was a great opportunity for Preston Vance to showcase his skills and get an opportunity to get over. The
good
Dark
body
Order
on
has,
him, you know?
Yeah,
good look.
Good body, good talent. Yeah, he can work too. I think he was trained by Cody Rhodes, if I remember correctly. A guy that, you know, could really serve well in the upper middle class of the AEW roster. I think Dark Order's been stuck in neutral for a while because of everything going on with Adam Page. And obviously Brody Lee passing away really threw everything out of whack. But they had a charge for a time with Reynolds and Silver. I don't know where the thread was lost with that.
Yeah, very interesting. But, though, I'm curious to see what they do with it. Is Dark Order over, or do they continue? Listen, I see it too. Someone in chat, there's money in Vance. I see it too.
Yeah,
I think that definitely room to do something with Preston Vance. But you know, we'll see what happens. Very curious, guys. Next week we're back. Same time, same place here on Sports Byline, Wrestling Observer Live. You can follow me at Andrew Zarian. You can follow Matt Ryan Yells on Twitter. I got that right. Not Matt Ryan sells. Matt Ryan does not sell anything except Catalyst Wrestling. And we'll be back next week.
CatalystWrestling.com.